Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-host, Steve and Stacy J. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to encourage dialogue across ages, genders, sexual orientation, religious backgrounds, and sex. So feel free to join in the discussion. We want to know what you think.
And welcome back to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. So this week we are picking up with a part two. Last week we talked about the sins of the father, but we related to how absent fathers impact women and their dating and their parenting, just in their life as a whole. And so we want to now focus on the sins of the father and how it impacts men. And so we do have a guest, but before I introduce my guest today, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my co-host. Hey, Steve.
Dr. Guy, this is going to be a good show. I'll have a little bit of experience in this topic.
I think it will be a good show. I think it will be. And we do have Fatima sitting in with us again this week, co-hosting. Thanks for coming back, Fatima.
Hello, Dr. Guy. I'm excited to be back, and I'm excited about this conversation.
Great. Well, I am really looking forward to it because I think we spend a lot of time talking about, air quotes, daddy issues as it relates to women. And so I do want us to spend some time just talking about how the lack of a male impacts men. And so I would like for you guys to help me in welcoming our guest today. His name is King Charles, and he is a radio personality. He's a speaker. Him and I spoke on a panel a couple of weeks ago, and the things that he said, I immediately said, I got to get him on the show. So I am so – and when I said I needed to get him on the show, for some reason this idea, I had it in my mind, and I knew I was going to ask him if he could come on this week. And coincidentally – he asked me to come on his show just yesterday, and so it was really perfect timing that we had these shows back to back. So, King Charles, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm honored to be on here, and just to
start off, you know what I'm saying, the pre-show conversation lets me know that I'm in the right place right now. Hello, everybody. My name is King Charles. I have a couple of talk shows, award-winning talk shows, and also on Fishbowl Radio Network, King Charles Topic of the Week and King Charles Relationships Unveiled, Uncensored. I have about 3.5 million impressions a week, and doing pretty well, you know, staying in God's will, and he's directing me in the path that I need to be. It's an honor to be here.
Now, King Charles, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Because I think you're really going to add some value to this topic today.
Of course. I'll give you a quick rundown. I am born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. Right now I reside in Texas by choice. Anything that you can formulate in your mind by a young black child growing up in South Central Los Angeles, yep, that's me. So, you know, I've done it all, you know what I'm saying, whether it's drugs, gangs, prison, all of that. So I've been through it all. Nothing in the urban community can impress me. But
okay,
today, let me just say this so the listeners can understand. But today, I've changed my belief system, my thought process, and how I react in society today because I live totally by spiritual principles.
Thank you so much, King Charles, for giving that snippet of your past experiences. And so as we talk about, obviously, the impact of absent fathers on men, I think a lot of men can relate to these topics, but oftentimes men aren't talking about it. Now, I don't know because I've spent the last 40-plus years as a woman, so I don't really know if this is a conversation that men are or not talking about, but I do know it is one that is really talked about in therapy. And so, but it comes up, and oftentimes my male clients are like, oh, that's not important, it's irrelevant. And then when we continue to do the work, they realize that it is relevant and has impacted them in ways that they were completely unaware of. So this idea behind the sins of the father, I'm just going to open it up and anybody feel free to chime in. Do you all feel that the lack of a father in a man's life as a young boy impacts him in adulthood? And if so, please explain that.
Well, I would
Go ahead, Steve.
I want to defer.
I mean, since you are the man, I'll let you go ahead and speak from personal experience.
It might take a little while. I think you need to go ahead and go first.
Okay. Well, I absolutely think it does have an impact in adulthood. I mean, if we think about it from the framework of attachment, right? So we're thinking about close emotional relationships between a caregiver and a child, and that's over the first several years of a child's life. And while that, with the absence of a father, you have the mother there, but there's still this component missing. In fact, I've been reading a lot of research that says in some cases the role of a father or even sometimes just father figure is just as important sometimes, if not more important. And so I think for young males, and then it's a completely different conversation if we talk about young black males in particular, but I think that the absence of seeing how those intimate partner relationships look like. So maybe the absence of seeing healthy relationships. So then when they grow up, they don't have a framework for that. The absence of having guidance that some people may disagree with me on this, but I think that some guidance that maybe sometimes only another man can give. And so I think having that, it impacts like just cognitive development, maybe even some lack of certain social skills. And so then when they grow up and they become adult men, then there are all these deficits because there are these parts bits and pieces that were missing because of a lack of the father in the home during those important years.
Okay.
This is King Charles. I'm going to chime in on that right quick. And first of all, let me say this so to get a clear understanding. I never knew my father, and there was never a man in the household. I was raised totally by women. So saying that, I believe today that when the father's not in the home, the divine order is interrupted. The whole divine plan is interrupted. Because if a father's not in the home to a man child, then eventually he will reach out for that father figure. And wherever he's raised at, you know what I'm saying, whomever he chooses to emulate or sponge up against for the man bonding or knowledge of being a man could detect and write his whole life for him. In my experience, you know, there was no father in the home, but it was the hood. So I adapted to the guys in the hood, which was a bad influence for me, but I didn't know at the time, but it was formulating my life, and it wrecked my life. One of the key elements that I know that shows up in my life, I'm a firm believer that as a child, in what you experience, see, hear, as a child, shows up in your adulthood. So a lot of things have shown up in my adulthood that if it wasn't for therapy, that I wouldn't be able to process it and process it in a correct way. One of the key elements is how to treat a woman. I never knew or never was taught how to treat a woman, how a woman needs to be treated, how to love a woman, how to respect a woman, how to be romantic, how to be respectful, and all of these things shown up in womanizing in my life. And there's still some remnants of that in my life that I still have to continuously stay in the process and work on. I'm better, but I'm not well.
Thank you, King James.
I'm so glad you said that.
If somebody called me King James one more time this week, I'm gonna be mad.
I'm sorry, King Charles. In my head, I was thinking biblical. Fatima, you had something.
I'm glad you brought in about. You mentioned that an upcoming topic in your show is about men's bodies being valuable as well. And it just made me think about how that the value regarding sex, sexuality, relationships, and marriage, that's very important, particularly for young Black men who are disproportionately affected by unplanned pregnancy, infections. I think that conversation, not just from the lens of, your body is important and you shouldn't, be so casual with it, because I think a lot of times the message that men get is their manhood is rated by how many people or women they can get in bed, but not just from that, but also just the importance of safety. And so when there is that absence of a father, I think a lot of times that education is coming from outside sources and probably not the best sources, probably people who are just as uneducated on these topics as the young man is.
Yes, Fatina, you brought up a major point there, and thank you for bringing that up, because I'm doing that show, and the show is men, your body's valuable too, you know, and I had to learn that, because see, I had came up with the information that I got as a child by not having a father, and not having a father sit me down and let me know that I'm valuable too. I became community penis. and becoming a community penis, you know what I'm saying? You're right. You know, the importance was how many women you can lay down. Not only that, you got stereotypically things that, you know what I'm saying, that's embedded into our minds because society rings with it. It's, you know what I'm saying, the value of how large my penis is or this, that, and the other, how many women you can lay down. All these things is just really ruin a lot of men in today's society. Because one of the biggest points in that is a lot of fatherless children. The generational curse is not being broken, it's being fed.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I know you have a personal experience that relates to this topic.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I could be the poster child for today's topic. You know, I grew up in a house with five women, so those were my early influences. So growing up, I actually had to learn that I wasn't acting masculine because I was emulating the people that I was around, which were women, which led me to get into a lot of confrontations because people thought I was a homosexual. But, you know, I'm a child, but, you know, I guess because I grew up around women, they saw that I had female tendencies. But that's all I really saw initially. And I got past that. And then, you know, when I got to high school, what I noticed was, like, my crew, none of us had our fathers around. So we were all kind of stumbling around trying to figure out things ourselves. You know, through, like King Charles said, not King James, the hood. And, you know, also through music. Like, a lot of how I was raised was on music and what the rapper said and, you know, what the R&B guy said. You know, was the Keith Sweat, the EPMD, LL Cool J. I was like, yeah, I need to do that because that's what they said. And LL's cool. So, you know, the ladies love Cool James, so I got to do that. So, you know, even, like, say, for instance, the first time I had sex, the girl told me I had sex on Friday. Sunday she told me she was pregnant, and she needed money for an abortion. So, you know, like, I didn't know any better. I was like, oh, God, she's pregnant. And my, you know, my male peers were like, nah, she's trying to get you. I was like, nah, women don't lie about being pregnant. She's like, you know, when did you have sex with her? Friday. She's not pregnant, Steve. So, you know, these little things like this that, you know, obviously I couldn't tell my mother. You know, like King Charles talked about, it's not like, you know, your female relatives can tell you how to interact with a woman physically or romantically, you know, those type of things. And even, you know, going to college, I had the same experiences. A lot of the guys I ran across did not have that father figure, and I did get some questionable advice. And also, speaking of what King Charles said about the womanizing, and I know Dr. Guy and I have kind of talked about this, in my mind, because I grew up around four to five women, it's very easy for me to juggle four or five feminine personalities because that was my norm growing up, was to be the center of attention to a bunch of women. So to be with one woman was foreign to me in that regard. Not that it still is. I'm like King Charles. I'm working through my problems, but not even problems, but just that's just how my brain works. You know, I know sometimes we talk about, you know, how can you be with more than one person? And I think a lot of it is conditioning and, you know, how are you raised.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm hearing both of you gentlemen talk about is just the socialization that is lacking when you don't have a male in the home and what type of personality types that creates, but also what types of narratives that you draw from not having a male there. And so Steve knows that I love statistics, and even though we don't live in statistics land, I always think that they're helpful because they kind of give us this visualization of the things that we're talking about. So when we look at it in terms of numbers, about 7.3% of boys have lost their fathers before the age of seven. Around 2.5% have lost their dads between the age of 7 and 11. And then another 4.6% fathers are absent between the age of 11 and 16. If we're referring specifically to the African-American community, over 70% of the households are headed by single mothers or women in general. And so when you're seeing statistics where there's definitely a number of absent fathers in the homes, how do we or what do we believe these young boys are getting this idea behind what does it mean to be a man? Because don't get me wrong, women are doing some phenomenal jobs of raising their sons, but as a woman, could I teach my son how to be a man? Like, is that necessary to have that male figure or some positive male figure there?
Wow, let me chime in on that. Dr. Guy, I'm a firm believer that a woman cannot teach a boy child how to be a man and certain needed attributes into being and coming into his manhood, the positive things. There's going to be some things. I'm not saying that a woman can't raise a son. I cannot say that. No, I will not say that, because you can. And women in today's society, and I have to say, to speak on my tribe, black women in today's societies are doing the best that they can with what they have. You know what I'm saying? And I commend them for it. I'm an advocate for this, because not only I've never known my father ever, but I became a deadbeat dad myself, because that's all I knew. And, you know, and what I'm trying to do now that I've made retribution as far as my children, you know, and one's in my life and one chose not to be, you know, and that's heartbreaking in itself. You know, that's some pain I have to deal with and I'll carry with me for probably the rest of my life. But all I have to do is keep walking my walk, the right walk. And maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. But women, single parent women, have to be very careful, you know, even in the dating process, is who they bring around a man child. And uncles are very important. Uncles are very important, because a child is going to emulate and put an adult as their hero. They automatically do that. No matter how you slice it up, they're gonna take somebody and gravitate towards them as their hero. So we have to be careful of what we say around our children, because they're sponges, and they're gonna take it in and they're gonna roll with it, and it's gonna show up in their adulthood.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm a little bit more radical, though. I think a woman can raise a child, but she can't make a man. To me, it's like asking a cat to raise a dog. It's just two different animals. Behave totally differently. Thought process is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Absolutely. I definitely
hear that. Fatima? I was going to say, I think for every... probably for every guy that I know that says, you know, a woman can't teach a man to be a man, I know a guy who was raised by a single mother and say, my mom did a really good job and made me the man that I am. I can't speak to that, because I'm not a mother and I'm not a man. So I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is my back is generally what the literature says, right? And so when I read that influence on children's development, and particularly paternal involvement seems to predict adult attachment even better than well, then that's pretty huge. So that's really saying there's a huge significance that that a father plays in the development of a child, particularly in this instance in a boy's life. If I think about my own personal dating experiences, I will say that probably some of the worst dating experiences I've had were with men who were raised by single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also say that women are not immune to, and I'm hesitant to say this because I feel like so often in some of these conversations, we lay the blame of everything at the feet of women. And so I'm hesitant to say this, but I will say that, you know, women are not immune from falling victim into buying into certain stereotypes or like patriarchal views. And I think that in an attempt sometimes to try to, quote unquote, raise a man or teach a boy to be a man, then they will in turn end up like relaying a lot of problematic stuff to the boy as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you guys are just joining us today, this is Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk, and our topic is, are men impacted by absent fathers? Our guest today is King Charles, radio personality, and we are going to go to the phone lines, but if you are listening online, if you have a comment or you would like to join our discussion, our call-in number is 914-205-5902. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. It looks like you're 111.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes. Can we hear each other?
Absolutely. And can I have your name, caller?
I'm Mr. Solution. Look, I would like Hello. I would like to raise three issues, which are of choice. And I understand the gravity of the problem, but the problem is never going to go away unless these three issues, in my humble opinion, are addressed. First of all, marriage, selection of man or mate, and birth control. If those three items, which are all choice issues, are not properly addressed, then, of course, you're going to have this problem. And the problem is going to proliferate. And the problem has actually been incentivized by the government and by society. So if we say to a young woman, you know, and I'm not a prude, get married before you produce a child. Select the proper man, not a man with swagger and all these other, characteristics that do not promote a healthy relationship. And also utilize birth control. I think those three issues there, if promoted properly, would absolutely arrest this issue. What do you think?
I think in general, I'd like to say something about that because this is, I feel like this is almost what I was just saying about how these issues get laid at the feet of women. I think that in general, overall agree with what you're saying, but I think that it's twofold. If we're gonna preach marriage, we can't just tell women you need to get married. You also need to tell young men you need to get married because a lot of those women are waiting for men to ask them to get married. But what we do is we tell women, back to the your body is sacred, get married, and we tell young men, bang as many women as you can, don't rush to settle down, have fun, sow your oats. And so what you end up having is a lot of men who are 30, 40, 45, even 50 years old, never having been married, can't get it together, and all of these women, there's a reason why 42% of black women haven't been married, because they're holding out for black men who aren't interested in marriage. When it comes to birth control is everybody's responsibility. Absolutely. But then that goes back to probably absence of the father, the stuff that I talked about earlier about how fathers usually are the ones that communicate with their sons things about sex and sexuality. They communicate that. So if there's an absence of a father in the home and he's not teaching the son to be sexually responsible, well, then you're going to see unplanned pregnancy. That's why African-American males between 13 and 24 disproportionately have an unplanned pregnancy.
I would love to comment on what the gentleman said. If I may, you get in there real quick. First of all, I believe in preventative measures. You know, you can say marriage, you can say safe sex and all these other things, but it all starts with the children of today. We have to interrupt the flow because it's already in effect. You cannot change the thought process of the masses of adults, but you can alter the thought process of a child. So therefore, instead of us, and I'll include me too, preaching to the mass or communicating to the mass, we need to get men, positive men, groups, caucuses, or different things like that, to go out and do the footwork, to talk to these young boys that don't have fathers and stuff, and be role models, you know what I'm saying? Take
Absolutely.
You 5 or 6 boys that don't have fathers in their home and be that positive image. Dress nice, put the ties and everything on and be around them. Show them how to dress, how to respect, how to open up doors, how to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and give them what they need for the next generation. We might not be around to see it, but we've implanted something in their heart and their soul. We're giving them a hope shot. You know, I don't, just because you're married, that don't mean you're going to stick and stay. I can't see that's the problem. And then you say in birth controls, here it are, we're black people and we're in last place on producing children. We're the last place on the face of the earth is producing children. Everybody's producing more children than we are. So I don't know. I'm in a point of disagreeing and agreeing with the brother, but you know what I'm saying? There is some things that need to be done, but I'm more leaning towards preventative measures.
Well, if I may just comment, I think everything that I said is preventative. And you know what? I think that people don't want to change. Very few people want to accept accountability and responsibility. But I said marriage. Look, the one who gets pregnant does have the primary responsibility for preventing it. There's no way of getting around that. And so if marriage is promoted, proper selection of mate, not just based on swagger and other superficial characteristics. And, of course, birth control. Sure. I mean, a child could be born at the wrong time. And by the way, women are never forced to be mothers. The law does not force a woman to be a mother. Let me be very specific about that. So I just think, again,
women's rights, reproductive rights, are literally being robbed from them every day. There is so much legislation that's being passed that's essentially forcing women in certain places to become mothers. So
I would disagree with that, and I would say that's because may I comment on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. I would say because the reproductive rights of women have been tremendously abused, and I think there is a walking back of it because of that tremendous abuse. But I am not, what I'm referring to on a positive note is to promote marriage, okay, before having a child. In fact, that's one of the hallmarks of being successful. Is delayed the production of a child until you are married. Proper selection of the man, if we want to talk about men who will stick around. Because let me tell you something, and I date women exclusively, okay? A lot of women don't want good men. They want the sketchy man. They prefer that man. They find him more sexual, more titillating, and what have you. And then, of course, birth control. We can talk about birth control as properly timing of a birth. We're not talking about not having a birth. We're talking about properly timing the birth. So if you have all these children without the resources to take care of them or the guidance, then you end up right where you are now. So I think these are good discussion pieces, whether people are comfortable discussing them or not.
Well, Mr. Solution, thank you so much for that question to our guest and our co-host. We are going to go back to the phone line because it looks like we have some other people that want to chime in the discussion. But definitely that
sure.
was an interesting question to pose.
Yeah.
There's some good brothers out here with some swagger too, man.
Absolutely. And I think that there was definitely some pros and cons to what he said as far as marriage, selection of men.
No,
I would throw in selection of men and women because both parties have to select. And then that birth control piece, obviously it's a responsibility for anybody who's engaging in sexual activity together. But we do have another caller, you guys, so we're going to go back to the phone lines at 618. You are on the air.
Hi, Heidi. Hey. So I wanted to just respond to
one of the brothers was talking about mentorship. I think that mentorship is going to be something that is truly going to be needed in the Black community. I work in a Head Start program, and I've worked for public health, and that's the lack we're missing our Black men in our community. And we need that. We really, really need Black men to step up and start taking ownership to come back to the community and help us raise these boys. Because you're right, due to incarceration, mass incarceration, gun violence, drugs, we're missing the Black men in the community, and it's needed. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is the birth control. I just came out of working for public health, and birth control has to go both ways. And it needs to be educated to our young boys and girls because they're not using it at all. They don't understand birth control. They don't understand the use of condoms in this day and age. And with sex being just multiplied in social media, TV, the whole nine, that education needs to happen. And it needs to happen whether it be in the churches, whether it be in the schools. It needs to be talked about in the home. And that is a lack of. We still in our society and even in the Black community still think abstinence, even though it is not abstinence in the mind of the child today, this is still something that we push amongst our children. And when we talk about birth control, we also have to talk about the other things that come with birth control when it comes to women. You have to think about the health issues that comes with birth control. Birth control can lag out and can cause polar blood clots, other health issues, keep women from becoming pregnant when they're ready to get pregnant. Yes, infidelity, the whole nine. So when you talk about birth control, you need to be educated on it. And I also think that there needs to be a push to use condoms. Because when it comes down to it, your man's responsibility is just as accountable as the Black, as the woman's responsibility. Just because she's not on birth control doesn't mean that you don't use a condom, especially if she's not your wife, since we're talking about marriage. That's just my
thing. Let me get this one. I let the solution slide. So, you know, I know I can say this with Mr. Charles on the line. I was highly educated about condoms, but the first time I put my penis inside a vagina, forget what you was talking about. You know, education be damned. So, you know, there is going to be an onus on the woman. I know you don't like to hear it, you know, but at some point, like the first caller said, you know, I can conduct myself accordingly and leave, and you're going to be there 9 months later, you know, by yourself. So I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But at the end of the day, you know, the onus is going to be more on the woman because of the responsibility will be left with her. And to what he was speaking previously, I think also what we need to address is marriage is obsolete in its current form. I can tell by listening to him, he's a little older, so he wants to return to the days where things in the game made sense to him, but the game is always evolving. That's why he don't have no swagger. He don't understand what the hell is going on. You know, he probably is seen as a resource because he's responsible and conducts himself the way he does, and that's not appealing to the women because they want something that is different because that's what's marketed to them. So that being said, I'm just going to shut up and let y'all bring it to me.
Please,
I'm
jumping.
I think
you
probably
should
have taken
that
approach before
insulting
the caller.
Let me get in there a little bit. Hey, Steve, I love you, man.
What? I'm just telling you. Ooh, wee.
Hey, listen, Steve hit home on a part. You know, first of all, you know, sex in itself is a great physical experience. It's done right, you know what I'm saying, for both parties, you know. Everybody, both parties have a prize, so I'm not going to even go there with it. But, you know, we birth control is both parties' responsibility. Condoms is not the only solution. There's other forms of birth controls, and there's birth control measures in today's society that's more healthier than they used to be when I was a teenager, you know, and coming up as a young adult or whatever the case may be. But one thing where we dropped the ball, and the caller hit on it. She hit it right on the head right there. society is stuck on preaching to our children about abstinence. You spinning your wheels if you stick on abstinence, because they're going to have sex. They are going to have sex. So you cannot say, well, just don't have sex. No. Educate them thoroughly on their consequences of having sex. That's a very, very, very important, because if you preach abstinence, you know, I think you're spinning your wheels.
Right. I think that you need to preach both. I think you need to educate about abstinence as well as educating about safe sex. But I cannot say this enough, that this whole like, oh, the woman gets left with the baby, that's a cop out. And I this really cannot be stressed enough, that African-American males between 13 to 24 account for 50% of HIV infections. So this whole thing about, oh, if other birth control methods or I feel so good without the condom, that's all good, fine, and dandy. But if we're talking about young people and we're talking about education and we're talking about prevention, the only thing that's really going to prevent these STIs, HIV, as well as pregnancy, is using a condom. And so I don't think that we need to minimize that or joke about it or just fall back on, well, the woman gets left with the baby. A baby is not the only outcome of not having safe sex.
True.
Well, let me jump in here real quick as a condom user. You know, at one point in my life, you know, and this might be a little bit too graphic, but y'all, but I don't care. You know, I had gotten accustomed to having sex so much without a condom that my penis wouldn't work with a condom, you know. So, you know, there, you just say put a condom on, but it just don't always work like that, you know. So I had to reintroduce myself to actually using a condom after being in a long-term condomless relationship. So while I do appreciate the suggestion, it's not always the proper way to go about things.
I'm going to steer us back to the original topic that we started with, because I think we've kind of gone a little bit off course, but it's what we're talking about is definitely an important topic. Because Steve, you hit me with, you know, the woman that's left with the baby, and like I was over here doing flips in my seat, like, oh my goodness, like where do I go with this? And there's so much. And so it really started off with Mr. Solution's statement about marriage, selection of men, and birth control, and that it kind of all fell on, the onus was on the female. And the reality is it's not. But I think this is where we pull back in our topic about absent fathers, because these are young men who are now engaging in irresponsible behavior because there is no male in their life to say, this is not how you treat a young lady. And so they don't have uncles. As Heidi just mentioned, they don't have role models. And I've seen that firsthand. I volunteered for Big Brother, Big Sister for 12 years, consecutively for 12 years. And I've had four different littles. And in that time, I could only mentor a female as a single woman. And there were so many young boys, in fact, African-American boys, that were on the waiting list for months and months and months because they could not find matches that were black men. So they would end up matching these little black boys with white men or a couple that eventually would come along. And I'm thinking, there's a problem with this. When in our own community, we don't go back and get them. And these are adult men who grew up without fathers and knew how it impacted them, and yet still won't take the time to go back and mentor somebody else. So when Heidi talked about this lack of role modeling, that's an issue. That is a systemic issue. That is the reason why we continue to see these cycles repeating over and over. And it is damaging to see these young boys looking up to who? Local gangbangers? Drug dealers? What? Like, who are they looking to? And we cannot fault their mothers, because their mothers cannot be at the same, at one place all the time with them. And they cannot tell them, this is what you should do as a man. Steve, as you tell me all the time, you have a penis and I don't. You are absolutely correct. I can't tell you how that thing works. I can't tell you how it connects to your brain and make you do things differently than what a female does, but a man can. And so the conversation that we have today, I really want our listeners to tune into the fact that even though men aren't talking about how they have been impacted in their life without a man there, they have been. And it is now the responsibility of these grown men, whether you are taking care of your own kids, you still need to be reaching out to these other young boys who don't have fathers in their lives. Because without men in their lives, we are definitely seeing how they are impacting our community in negative ways. And this impacts us in every shape, form, or fashion. It impacts the economy. It impacts whether you're worried about somebody breaking into your house, whether you're worried about somebody getting your teenage daughter pregnant. All of these measures come back to us as a society, and we want to turn look the other way and say, that's not my responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. So I'm so glad that we have our listeners calling in today to chime in. Hadi, thank you for your comment. We do have another caller. I'm going to go to the phone line because we have about 15 minutes left today. So caller at 919, you are on the air.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
Hello?
North Carolina in the house.
Yeah, hi, how about that? I've been listening to your conversation that I think is fascinating. Just a couple of points to kind of chime in on. Number one is the fact that we are the most socially engineered people on the planet. And according to, as I listen to you guys go back and forth, it's working. We're at odds. We're trying to come up with stuff. And we don't see the hidden hand that's kind of moving the goalpost. And one of the other callers said that this is a curse. This isn't a curse. This is a pattern. And patterns are predictable. And patterns can be manipulated. The intergenerational patterns that come down from generation to generation that are affecting the black family. So you can't really talk about healing all this other stuff until you talk about healing the black family. And that's really important. One of the other things you talked about was toxic masculinity. And you can't really talk about toxic masculinity until you talk about toxic femininity. The two are inversely proportional, if that makes sense. Let's see, what else we got to talk about? Ever since sex got easier, love got harder to find. I've seen, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, 80s and 90s up until now. And back in the day, sex was very hard to come by. But now it's like sport, and I think that has impacted society significantly. The most important person in the life of the child is the same sex parent. 81% of girl children, black girls, grow up with their mother. 81% of black boys do not. That is significant. And when you look at the trends that are taking place in the black community and in the black family, it is related to the black man not being in the house. But there are some other social engineering aspects that we're under the influence of, but we're not aware that they're impacting the family and the community. So
I want to make sure I heard that stat right. Did you say 81% of black boys do not grow up with a mother?
Father. Do not grow up with the father in the house.
Father.
Okay.
Versus 81% of black women, of black girls do. So when you
gotcha.
Look at outcomes,
right.
you see black women being more successful because the role model is right there. Mom is right there.
Right.
You need somebody to imprint, somebody to copy, somebody to, I remember growing up, my grandfather was shaving in the bathroom, and he'd take the blade out, and I'm shaving. I'm looking at him shaving, and I'm shaving. I'm 3 years old. That's imprinting. I needed that as a man, you know, because my father wasn't available, but my grandfather was. So I needed
right.
that to imprint, to copy, to know how to hold a door open, to know, to, you know, to say thank you, be courteous, and all that stuff. I learned that from my grandfather. So,
right. Let me chime in right quick. Let me chime in on this right quick. And thank you, brother, because you brought up some real good points. And first off, I want to say this. Today we have a choice. This is 2020. We have a choice today, but we can't refuse the point that, you know what I'm saying, as a race, we've been psychologically twisted. So therefore, that's why we're speaking about this today. So we can't get away from that, but we don't have to stay there. We have a choice today to make a difference. So it all boils down to we have a problem. 81% of our man children today are coming into the world without fathers. So it all goes back to all the men that, and I'm going to say this real quick and get in and get out of here. Every man that's listening right now and every man that's going to listen to this in the future, take some time out of your day. Go to the YMCA. Go to the Boys Club and find out how can you get involved into latching onto some of these children, some of these boy children, and offer your time, your space to give back, because it's got to start right there. It has to start. You must dedicate some of your time to giving back, to giving these young boys that do not have a positive figure in their life, and be that positive figure. Be that beacon right there for them. Your life will be blessed. Just do it. Because I just did a conference, and I talked, and I did a workshop for children, and it's crazy how many of our boy children don't even have an idea what they even want to be in life.
Right. Well, a lot of that's due to the lack of emotional nutrition. So part of me being around a man is getting that emotional nutrition. When I look into my grandfather's eyes, what was reflected back to me was all parts of me was okay. And
mm-hmm.
so since half of who I am, since half of my genes come from my mom and the other half comes from my dad, I need that validation from another man. It's almost like a, well, they used to call it a rite of passage back in the day. They used to have a whole ceremony as a rite of passage, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Jews have bar mitzvahs and quinceañeras, you know, that kind of rite of passage. That has totally left our community. And so what you're handed down to us is peer groups and television and looking at all this stuff on TV kind of formats
Correct.
These boys as to how to be.
Well,
one
that's one of the reasons
that,
why we have a problem with Africans, African Americans and Africans, because they look at us as we don't have any history, we don't have any culture, we don't have any rites of passage where they
right.
still do.
Yeah.
Also, as we look at how society is basically, and I'm glad you brought up the toxic masculinity, anything masculine is devalued, anything feminine is exalted. So what we have is a devaluation of masculinity and a hyper
correct
a hypervaluation of femininity. So yes, your mother may have done some things wrong, but that's okay, that's your mama. But if your daddy did something wrong, he ain't shit. You know.
Right.
So as we look at these things, you know, through relationships and how society is moved in general, it's just not black people, it's just the American culture in general. Like, you know, what I see is a lot of more transgender fluid because they don't understand what gender is anymore because there isn't a strong masculine presence. And I think when we talk about Mr. G.S. Solutions, the problem he's having is he doesn't have enough a strong enough masculine presentation for these women to bond with them. Women will always seek out masculine. That's why you see a lot of them with the same guys, because whether it's Pookie or Ray Ray or the corporate guy, they have a masculine presentation. They present themselves well enough. And to speak to, you know, what these gentlemen were saying, I have attempted to go mentor some kids. To be honest with you, I'm scared to death. You know, them little dudes ain't trying to set me up, and their mama trying to get pregnant. You know, it's just easier for me to avoid it. you know, I might pop in from time to time, but it's such a treacherous environment when you interject yourself in that situation as a single available man with resources, you know, because the kids look at you like they want what you got. The women look at you like they want what you got. So a lot of times it's easier, or like we talk about, you know, even with the social engineering, going back to, you know, with Willie Lynch and everything that happened with that, you know, we as a people and a culture, you know, have a lot of problems that can only be solved by the, I guess, the de-engineering of us getting engineered.
But part of that, Steve, and I agree with what the statement that you just made and what our caller made, that a lot of what we're seeing as it relates to men is systemic, and it's really a breakdown of the Black family. And in several ways, it's a breakdown of the family and society as a whole, but more so specifically
right.
to the breakdown of the African-American family. Like, this has been devised for years, right? Like, this is the intent to divide the African-American family. And so we have seen
right.
it repeating through time by using different measures. And so at one point it was the housing situation, and then it was the, you know, public system and aid, and then it became, you know, the epidemic. Like, all of these were measures intended to divide the Black family. And so they have
That's
done a
correct.
Successful job of that. And along with the systemic issues that have now done it, what we are doing to ourselves is now continuing to divide each other. So one of the things, and
right.
I am speaking more to women, I am speaking to hurt women, that you have to let these men be fathers to their kids. Regardless of what happened to you in that relationship with this father, you do not have the right to keep this man away from his child, or to use the child against this man in a way to hurt the man, because it hurts the child. And so I'm speaking to women, not all, by no means, but there are some women, and you all, every person knows one that is intentionally using the child against his father. And so as a result, now this father is tired of fighting. And so I don't blame him that he's tired of fighting, but he has to continue to fight because this is his seed. And all too often, as a result of these systemic issues, we have now become the own dividers within our own communities and within our own families. And Steve, I thank you for that honesty, for saying, I'm just scared because I don't know how to come in and mentor these young men, because that's true. And I didn't see that before. I didn't even think that that was a possibility, that that's why some men are not stepping up to the plate. So I thank you for sharing that, because now I do have a better awareness that maybe that is the case. And maybe as a whole, there's something else that we can begin to do with each other, because there are too many Black boys that are suffering without Black men in their lives. So, caller, thank you so much for your comment and for all
sure.
of our listeners who have chimed in today on our topic about absent fathers and how they impact men. So we only have a little bit of time left. And so, King Charles, I want to thank you so much for chiming in today with us. I do want you to let our listeners know how they can catch up with you or how they can listen to you outside of today.
Wow. Thank you for having me on the show. The show was great. You know, it's a lot of information that was shared on here. Thank you for your co-host. Thank you for the callers that's coming in. What I want to do is just say my shows are King Charles Topic of the Week. It broadcasts from 1 to 3 on Saturdays, and King Charles Relationships Unveiled Uncensored Fridays from 5 to 7. You can go to fbrn.us and look up the shows. Also, kingcharlesproductions.com. Look me up. Look me up on Facebook, King Charles Productions. And definitely. And Dr. Guy, I definitely need to talk to you about maybe doing something with me on Saturday, huh? Being a little bit more a part of my show on Saturday. I really love your presence on there. You offered a lot.
Well, I definitely had a great time on the show yesterday. The topic, we talked about friends, and it was definitely a topic that was necessary. I think we can all relate to. And today, this topic, I wish we would have had more time, because typically we do an hour and we're just running out of time with these particular topics. But it looks like we're going to have to bring this topic back, because there's so much to unravel and unpack about this. And I don't think we give enough attention to men issues. So, Steve, thank you for reminding me about that. that we spend a lot of time focusing on what I think are hot topics for women. And sometimes we let our men issues just fall by the wayside. And so I do want to let my male listeners know that we value you guys. We do know that you matter. You are important. And as King Charles said, his topic for next week is, what's your topic again about men next week?
Men, you have a prize too.
So I think that's an awesome segue to lead us out today. Steve and Fatima, thank you as always for co-hosting today. And as always, you guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Everyone, have a blessed week, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.